Good morning, everybody.
Hello.
What a great morning it is. Wasn't that a fantastic time of worship? Wow. The presence of the Lord, I don't know about you, but it just seems to be increasing as we worship, just the depth. And, you know, that word that Jonathan brought about the banner going up. The Lord's only going to come where he is welcome and where he feels that he wants to make his home. And I'm hungry for that. I'm hungry to see more and more of his presence among us so that we're caught up. And anyone that comes in to our gathering is caught up with him. Not with the lights or the PowerPoint or the music, but they're caught up with who he is. With the wonder of this amazing God that we serve and know and love. Because I think sometimes, you know, we can take for granted the presence of the Lord in our lives because we know him. But what he wants to kind of like seep out of us in this place, ooze out of us, so that others can come in and be changed. And this morning I'm going to talk to us about being gatekeepers. We have, you've got your new reading plans on your seats. So for December it can show the reading plan. And on the other side, stand in the gates. We've been talking about this. This is our prayer initiative that we're going to be starting in the new year on the 6th of January, a specific night, Friday night, 9 o'clock till midnight, praying around the North and South Circular at the different gateways. If you haven't signed up yet online, sign up to the gateway that you're going to be in. I'm going to do that for the first hour and a half, and then from 11 till midnight outside Westminster in Parliament Square, we're going to spend that last hour. And why are we doing this? We're doing this, well, ultimately because God's told us to do it. But, you know, why has God told us to do it? Because everything that God does, he births through prayer. He births through speaking to us as his people and us stepping out in obedience to what he's asked us to do. And if you like, being that one who stands in the gap or in the gate on behalf of the city. And we are a people of prayer. That's one of our core foundations. And we're moving now into this new season of prayer. And Jonathan will maybe talk about it. I don't know if you're going to say at the end, maybe about God's spoken to him about doing some fasting in the new year. So we're going to be doing some fasting together and really creating space, creating room for God to come and move among us. But not just so that we can have a nice time, but so that his presence can invade this city, can invade the lives of those that are hungry for truth, hungry for peace, hungry for hope, hungry for love. All the things that you and I take for granted that we have. And God has a plan in that. So Ruth's word last week, I'm going to follow on from that about our internal world as we prepare ourselves to stand in the gap. This is not something that we just do lightly, but we do it thoughtfully, we do it prayerfully, we do it out of a heart where we're saying that word, remember that word that Pastor Colin brought about sowing our lives, that this is part of sowing our lives, that we just say yes every time God puts something before us as a body. Amen. So I'm going to go through quite a lot of scriptures about prayer, but I wanted to start with this one. If anyone is thirsty, Jesus said, let him come to me and drink. Whoever believes in me, as the scripture has said, streams of living water will flow from within him. Do you know you're a fountain? You personally are a fountain of life. So wherever you go, streams should come out of you. Like a fountain. There's a lot in scripture about that. So my question is, who needs to drink from your fountain? Who's thirsty around you? Because there's someone. I guarantee it. So we've been looking at gates. What is a gate? It's an entry and an exit point. It's a controlled access point, a gate. It's not just something that's, you know, left open, like we just moved into our new house and there isn't a gate on it at the moment. I think that's significant because we're going to put a gate on it. There is no gate physically there at the moment. But we're going to put a gate in. Why? To control who comes across that threshold. It's a place where agreements and transactions were made. This is the gate as in biblically. Okay, what is mentioned biblically in the Bible. So where agreements and transactions are made, and as we pray, not just on the 6th, but between now and then, and also beyond then, as we move into prayer academy, we're going to have a prayer academy after the 6th, where we're going to start doing some specific things together. And it's a place where justice was administered, that we stand in that place to say there is a God who sees all the injustice, all the despair. And there's a lot of that in this city. But we stand in the gates because of the one who is just. And that's where justice is administered. So what about the gatekeepers? That's the gate. And the scripture references are up there. I'll make this PowerPoint available. We'll get that emailed around, or we'll put it on a Dropbox or do something so you can access it. Says they were assigned, the gatekeepers, and appointed to positions of trust. It's what it says in the word. Is that us or downstairs? That's downstairs. They were in charge of or responsible to care for and guard the gates of the house of the Lord. So this is a trust that God has given us. You can be encouraged, and we can be encouraged as a church, that God is saying, go and do this, because he's trusting us. He's saying, right, now I want to entrust into your hands. Every gate, entry and exit point was covered and guarded. You know, your front door, let's use your front door to your house, or the gate to your house. You like it shut at the right time, don't you? You like it to open when it's meant to open. But it's guarded. You guard that. You lock it. You make sure that it's secure. And this is all part of what God wants us to do spiritually. And the gatekeepers were responsible for the rooms that held the treasure in the temple. Wow, what a privilege. And we have treasure. Says that, doesn't it? That we have this treasure in jars of clay. And the treasure is the presence of the Lord. The treasure is Jesus. It's who he is. And we have a responsibility to guard that treasure in our own lives, first and foremost. But also to guard that treasure so that others can receive. Day and night, they did this. 24/7, on guard. You know, the devil never takes a holiday. He never takes a break. And it's good to rest. It's good to have seasons of vacation, but we never take a vacation or a holiday from our spiritual stand in the spirit. You can be lying on a beach in Italy. Wouldn't that be lovely? You can be lying on a beach resting, but still be on guard, still be stood up on the inside regarding the purposes of God. And it's important, you know, as we come into this Christmas season, we're going to rest. We're going to feast. I love that about Christmas, and feasting is very biblical. But God talks a lot about setting banquets before us, not gluttony, but feasting. Yeah. All right, so let's get the right one. Let's not be gluttons, but let's feast. And even in the feasting time and the celebration time, we need to be on guard. Okay, we need to guard our spirits. And sometimes it can be a challenging time over the Christmas season, and meeting up with family and friends, and, you know, work parties and all kinds of things can kick off that have negative impact on us. And we need to be guarded on the inside in those places. They had charge of the key to open the door each morning. God gives us a key. In fact, Jesus said, I've given you the keys of the kingdom. What does a key do? Unlocks.
Yeah.
Unlocks. So there are things in the spirit that God has entrusted to you personally. He's given you a personal key or set of keys to unlock things and to lock things that need locking up. And that's on behalf of people. It's always on behalf of people. It's not about buildings. It's about people, all of this. Proverbs 4:23 says, above all else, guard like a watchman in a fortress, obediently protecting and inspecting your heart. This is the Helena version. Your mind and your innermost being, which is the seat of your emotions and will. That's what the original means. That's the depth of the word as you study it. So what are our entry and exit points to our hearts? If we're going to guard our hearts, well, we have three. We have a mouth, we have our eyes, and we have our ears. And we're going to look at these three areas. And God wants to challenge us all. I'm challenged myself, because you can't fail to be challenged when you look at stuff like this. But these are the entry exit points to our hearts, okay? And so God wants to put some things in our hands today, some tools from the Word of God to enable us to just take a check, take stock. Where am I? Am I guarding well? Maybe you've got one covered or two covered, but there's a third one that's not quite as well covered. You know, there's just free access in and out. God wants us to be on watch for all of them. So the mouth gate. Isaiah 50 says, the sovereign Lord has given me an instructed tongue to know the word that sustains the weary. These are all different scriptures. He who guards his lips guards his life. Wow. Isn't that true? But what a powerful statement. If we will guard what we say, we guard our lives. Simple yet profound. How many times have you spoken things and wanted to bring the words right back? A wise man's heart guides his mouth. And it says in the New Testament, from the overflow of the heart, the mouth speaks. Sometimes, you see, Scripture also says that the heart is deceitful and wicked beyond cure. The heart of man. And sometimes we think, because it's deceitful and wicked, our hearts outside of God. I'm talking about in the flesh and in the natural. Sometimes we think we're okay, but we're going around with our mouths. And actually, if you want to know what's in your heart, listen to what comes out of your mouth. From the overflow of the heart, the mouth speaks. So how do you know if you're really in faith for that person you're praying for? What are you speaking about them? What are you saying over their lives? What are you saying over your finances, over your future, over your health, over your family, over your job, over your friendships? What are you speaking? Because from the overflow of the heart, the mouth speaks. This is a prayer from Psalm 141. Set a guard over my mouth, O Lord. Keep watch over the door of my lips. Let not my heart be drawn to what is evil. Again, you see the connection between the lips and the heart. I prayed this prayer every day for the first 3 or 4 years of my Christian life because I grew up with a lot of foul language coming out of my mouth. I grew up in a pub. You know, swearing was second nature to me. And I prayed this scripture every day. God, set a door. Set a guard over my mouth. Keep watch over the door of my lips so that my heart isn't drawn to what is evil. For out of the overflow of the heart, the mouth speaks. Matthew 12. Now, this scripture is fantastic. My tongue is the pen of a skillful writer. Even if you say this scripture every day over yourself, it will change you. What is a skillful writer? Well, in Babylonian culture, in Egyptian culture, it was a job. Just like a plumber or a businessman or a workman, there was a skillful writer. Why? Because the skillful writers recorded history. They had such a valuable, important job because that was the way that history was recorded. They didn't have internet. They didn't have other things. So they had jobs of skillful writers. And the scripture says, my tongue is the pen of a skillful writer. Now, I like to pray, God, you're the skillful writer. Write your words through my words. Write your plans on the hearts of others through my mouth. Be a skillful writer through my tongue, through my mouth. I pray that prayer often. The mouth of the righteous is a fountain of life. This is all truth about you. And maybe you're sat here thinking, oh, gulp, because this is not your experience. And of course, God always wants to bring our experience up to the level of his truth. Yeah. And where we've got it wrong, there's no condemnation. Every day we can start afresh and we can say, God, today I want my mouth to be a fountain of life. So people's expectation when you go to a fountain, if you're thirsty, what's your expectation? You can drink. I want the expectation of others who come into my presence to be, they're going to be encouraged, they're going to be built up, they're going to be blessed, they're going to be spoken well of. That's the expectation I want to create. So let's look at the eye gate. Now, this is a big one because we live in a very visual world. Media, Snapchat, it's taken over because we live in this visual media world where a picture literally can speak more than 1,000 words sometimes. The eye is the lamp of the body. If your eyes are good, your whole body will be full of light. Years ago, I did a study on eyes because of this scripture, where it says, the eye is the lamp of the body. I thought, what a statement. My eye is the lamp of my body. What does that mean? My eye is a lamp. Also says that the eyes is the window of the soul, which is why I, you know, when I was teaching in the Bible school, I always used to say to the students, some of you probably remember, come and sit up the front because I want to look in your eyes. I want to eyeball you, because actually when you look in someone's eyes, you see them. And you can often tell where people are at by whether they can look you in the eye. When someone's ashamed, when someone's struggling, they often can't look you in the eye. And the eye is the lamp of the body. If your eyes are good, your whole body will be full of light. Now, this is not difficult to understand. This is simple to understand. And a lot of the truths of the gospel that are so profound are simple. If your eyes are good, what does that mean? Well, what you look at is good. If what you look at is good, then your whole body will be full of light. When I did this study on eyes a few years ago, it was amazing. Just the whole makeup of an eye. It's like a camera, literally. It is like a photographic camera. And everything that you see leaves an image. Like when a camera is exposed to light, it takes an image, it takes a picture. Everything you look at with your eyes imprints an image in your mind. Everything. I'm convinced that there are certain things that we just shouldn't see. I'm careful, I don't know about you, but I'm careful what I watch on the news, what I look at on the news. As the years have progressed in my lifetime, it's gone from images that report the news sort of overall to the minute detail of blood on the ground. And literally, you can see people dying and they'll warn you it's coming. But my thing is, well, why do I need to see that? Why can't you just tell me that there has been this atrocity? Why does media have to take us right there? Because actually, I'm not meant to be there. I'm meant to be here. This is where God has called me. And it's important to know, it's important to be informed, it's important to understand what's going on in the world so we can pray and we can have compassion and we can reach out in love. But there are things where the enemy wants to put these pictures in our minds. Have you ever found a time when, particularly when you're coming to worship, or maybe just before communion, or you think, I want to pray and meet with God, and you start doing it, and suddenly you get this really unclean thought in your mind, an image you've seen, a movie you've watched, something you know was impure, that impacted you, and right at that moment, what comes up? That image. And you know, I believe God wants us to get rid of those images. There are some images that God could, he can just take them away supernaturally. He can take them away. And if that's you, if there are some images that you know you've looked at, either sometimes indirectly, you know, like it's in your face. I remember we went on a holiday one time years ago, and it was a real, you know, like we just were so in need of a few days away. And we got away. We got, I don't know where we were, I think we were in Spain, turned the television on when we got there, and this pornographic image was straight there, first night we were there. And it was really horrible, because it disturbed my sleep that night to get rid, I had to pray to get rid of that image. So I want my body to be full of light, and this is God's plan for us, is that our body will be full of light. Job said, and again, I've prayed this a lot. Job said, I made or I cut a covenant. I determined to make a binding, lifelong treaty or contract, like in marriage, with my eyes, not to look lustfully at a girl, or for you girls, at a guy. I've made a covenant with my eyes that I won't look lustfully. And remember what Jesus said, Jesus' standard of grace, this is not law, this is grace. Jesus said, if you just look lustfully, it's the same as if you've committed adultery, actually. The standard of grace is not lower, it's higher. But the grace of God enables us to live it, not in striving, not in law, but out of a heart, God, I want to please you. I want to please you. So, make a covenant with your eyes. I'm not going to look lustfully at the opposite sex. I will set before my eyes no vile, wicked, worthless, naughty, destructive thing, speech, sayings or words. Notice all of these, they're the psalmist or the writer is taking ownership, taking responsibility. I will, or I won't. This is personal. And this is what God's calling us to do, personally, in preparation, so that we can come and stand in the gates in January on behalf of this city and say, on behalf of others, Lord, we're standing in the gates to say nothing unclean is coming through here. Nothing unwholesome, nothing that's of your kingdom, only that which is of you. The standards of truth, the royal standard of righteousness and justice in our city and in our nation. A discerning man keeps wisdom in view, but a fool's eyes wander to the ends of the earth. That's a really interesting one, isn't it? A discerning man keeps wisdom in view, but a fool's eyes wander to the ends of the earth. What that says to me is that it's wisdom to keep in view. What's your view? It's what's before you. It's your world. It's where you live. It's what you're called to. It's where God's positioned you. And yet the fool, his eyes wander to the ends of the earth. So he's looking over here. He's looking over there. He's looking over there. He's wondering, is the grass greener over there? Is that church better? Is that country better? Is that job better? What's better? He's wandering all over the place. Whereas wisdom keeps in view. Your view is just, it's what God has said. So I'm going to keep my eyes on what God has said. So therefore, what God has said, where he's positioned you, is the best place for you. It's the most prosperous place for you. It's the place where you're going to be filled with joy. The place where you're going to be filled with life, where you're going to do good friendships, good relationships. You know, the enemy loves to sort of do the grass is greener thing, doesn't he? In every area of our lives. But a discerning man keeps wisdom in view. So let's look at the ear gate. He wakens me morning by morning. He wakens my ear to listen like one being taught or discipled. This is the Lord. This is the Spirit of God. This is what it says in Isaiah. He wakens me. Over the years, and many of you I know will have done this as well, through my own walk with God, I've disciplined myself on the inside that the very last thing at night and the very first thing in the morning, the first conversation before I'd even opened my mouth and the very last conversation before I go to sleep is with the Lord. He gets the first good morning, even before Jonathan. It's like, morning, Lord. You train yourself on the inside. And many, many times, I've worked at that. Even just as I'm waking, the Lord's speaking. And sometimes they're the most precious times, actually. Because you know that you're not really, it's not reason, it's just, it's the Spirit of God speaking. He wakens me morning by morning, so it's a daily thing. This is a daily thing that we have to do. We have to guard these gateways of our lives every day. Listen, listen, it says in Isaiah 55. To me, that's the Lord, and eat what is good, and your soul will delight in the richest of fare. That's your soul. What is your soul? Your mind, your will, your emotions. Hearing God if your emotions are all over the place. Hear God. Because your soul needs to eat what is good in that place. If you're feeling down, if you're feeling disappointed, if you're feeling discouraged, listen to what the Spirit's saying. Don't put on your latest iPod or music or what's God saying? You know, maybe he'll direct you through a podcast or something and he'll speak to you through that. But ultimately it's him. It's him that you need to hear, that your soul needs. Give ear and come to me. Again, that's an action. In my Bible, everything where it's something I've got to do is green. It's just got a green highlight on it. That's my bit. The God bits are all in purple. Because that's what God does. I don't have to do it. God does it. But come to me. I've got to come to him. I've got to do that. I've got to give ear. Make a conscious decision. And I know sometimes there's season in our lives and God understands this. And Ruth was referring to this in her own walk last week. Sometimes we drop the baton in things. I know I've dropped the baton in prayer. In some ways, when I think of that, the baton of prayer that I've held in previous seasons, and I'm picking it up. I'm picking up, there's a baton in prayer that I'm picking up afresh. Why? Because there's a fresh race. There's a fresh journey. And sometimes, why do we drop the baton sometimes? We get discouraged, we get weary. Jonathan and I, as you know, we've been at Kingdom Faith for 27 years, believing God, praying, speaking these things. Sometimes in that journey, you can get weary. You can get like, but it's like, no, come on. We're picking up the baton. We're running the race and we're going to run it well. Because the goal is in sight. The journey is important, but it's the goal, it's the prize that we're after. If a man shuts his ears to the cry of the poor, he too will cry out and not be answered. So, and there's a lot in scripture that commands us to listen to God, but also to listen to what's going on around us. Not to, if a man shuts his ear to whining and complaining, that's the right thing to shut your ear to. But what about the cry of the poor? And the cry of the poor might not be a physical cry. It may be. It might just be that homeless person sat at the station who needs a sandwich or a bed. Because the scripture, this is just one scripture, there's lots of them, that talk about us keeping our ears open. Remember, Jesus said as well, open your eyes, the fields are white, the harvest. Now, they thought, the disciples thought their eyes were open, but Jesus said, no, they're not, open them. You're not seeing something that I, to me, is obvious, Jesus was saying. To me, I can see it. The fields are ripe, there's a harvest coming. Do you see harvest? I see harvest. I see London ready to be reaped. People's lives ready for hope, for love, for truth, for family, for belonging. Everyone should be quick, speedy and swift to listen, to understand, to find out and learn. Slow down your pace to speak and talk about what you think and slow down your pace to become angry. This is such a powerful scripture. I made my girls learn this when they were growing up and I used to say it all the time. Be quick to listen, slow to speak, slow to become angry. Have you ever been in a conversation where maybe there's a room full of people or a group of people and there's a conversation happening and you're trying to say something? But you can't because there's no room in the conversation. People are just bringing opinion, bringing conversation one after another, and you can't get in. If we apply this scripture, it creates space. It creates room. And actually, for those that don't, that have learnt this and that don't speak quickly, when they do speak, you really listen to them, don't you? When they suddenly do bring something, you really listen to that person. Because you know that what they're going to say has been thought through. Do not merely listen to, understand, find out and learn the word, and so deceive yourselves. Do perform and obey what it says. Strong. Our 21st century world doesn't like the word obey. In fact, that's probably a bit of a dirty word. Obey. Obey? I'm not obeying anybody. Actually, that's the new religion. Not to obey. I'm my own oracle. I heard something the other day about atheism. Why? It takes a lot of faith to be an atheist. And atheists, actually, if you ask an atheist, if Christianity was true, and of course we know it is, if Jesus really did rise from the dead, and of course we know he did, if you ask an atheist this and say, if that's true, would you believe it? Would you follow it? There's a hesitation in them. If there's a no, why? Because self is on the throne. They don't want to. They don't want to. They don't want to obey. They don't want to have anyone. And that's the curse, if you like, of modernism, secularism. That they don't want a moral God. They don't want a moral standard. They don't want anybody to say that's right and that's wrong. That's what we're up against. That's why we need to stand in the gates and pray. Because Just because someone doesn't want it doesn't mean that it's not there. And in fact, built into humanity is a God-given understanding of right and wrong, of a moral standard. You can see that so clearly in creation, and you can see it so clearly in, you take the extreme cases of, you know, if an atheist's, let's say, if an atheist's niece or granddaughter was sexually abused, if there was no moral standard, they would have no right to be annoyed at that abuser, because that's not wrong. Now, of course, we know it's wrong because there's a moral standard of right and wrong that's in the world. Where does that moral standard come from? Comes from God, the Creator. But we live in a world that wants to pick and choose what is right and wrong. And for us as believers, as Christians, our moral guide is the Word of God. It's God's truth. It's the unchanging nature of who He is. And this is why we are standing in the gates. So between now and the 6th of January, we're going to have some rest times with family, with friends. We can celebrate the reason God gave His Son to humanity. We're going to be able to celebrate the gift of Jesus at Christmas. But on the inside, I want us, just you personally, to take this away and to be asking the Lord, where am I with my own gatekeeping over my own entry and exit points of my heart? Let's stand together because we're going to finish and pray. I'd just like to ask as well this question. Let's close our eyes before the Lord. You can minister on the keyboard, that's great. Just do a little bit of business before God, yourself. Because you know your own life, you know where you are in regard to being your own personal gatekeeper. And any areas where you know you need to bring that before the Lord, just bring it before Him. The blood of Jesus says if we confess our sins, He's faithful and just to forgive us and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness, all of it. So it's a quick clearing of the decks. God, I've been using my mouth in a wrong way. I've been using my eyes to look at things I shouldn't. I've been listening to the wrong things, maybe just listening to gossip, listening to stuff that's not building up. And actually, I haven't been listening to you. Whatever it is, just deal with that before the Lord right now. Just ask Him to forgive you, ask Him to cleanse you. Knowing that He does, that is His heart, He does. So Father, I thank You that right across this room, You're reading hearts now. Thank You that Your blood sweeps away everything that's an offence or that grieves You. You sweep it away right now, Lord. Thank You for a fresh start as we sow our lives day in, day out, Lord. Thank You for a fresh start today as gatekeepers of our own lives. Something in what's been said where you're like, wow, I never realized it was so powerful. Maybe to do with your words. I never realized it was so powerful that what I speak could really affect my life in that way. Just be encouraged by the Lord. Be encouraged that He's saying to every one of us, your mouth, and put your name there, is a fountain of life. When you speak, I'm going to bring life all around you, particularly to those that don't know the Lord. And He's just releasing faith across the room, fresh faith. That even if it's just a word of kindness, a word of thanks, a word of encouragement, that life is going to come into people's lives in a new way this week. Thank you, Father. And now just give yourself to Him. You just talk to Him about being a gatekeeper over your own heart. Saying, get beyond the external. There's something internal about that person that I'm going to show you. Because I've given you eyes to see, because you're guarding your own eyes, I'm going to cause you to see with the eyes of your understanding, with the eyes of your heart, beyond the external, to what's really going on. And then lastly, who needs to be heard by you? Who, ask the Lord God, who are the people that they need me to listen to them? They just need to be heard, and you've positioned me in their life so that they can be heard. That might be the main thing that God's going to do in your relationship with that person, that they will be heard. They will have a sense of being known, being listened to, because you're in their life. Nobody else. But God wants to use you in that way so that they can be heard. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Lord, I can only pray for myself and pray over us as a body. But I know for me, Lord, I'm giving myself fresh to stand in the gates, to be a gatekeeper over my own heart, to be watchful, to be mindful, to be in faith. And I thank you for your anointing, Holy Spirit, to come upon me and to come upon us, upon the whole body, those who aren't here as well. To guard well what you have entrusted to me personally and to us as a church. Lord, we want to guard it well. We want to walk it well, Lord, in a way that enables you and your presence to be outworked in our lives. In Jesus' name, thank you. Amen.
That on our own, that God, I never really understood that about grace before, that it enables us to live at a higher standard than the law. And I guess now I say it, it's obvious, but that really encouraged me.